We continue our study of the parables of Jesus. And today I read to you from the 25th chapter of Matthew, beginning with verse 14. Jesus is speaking. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said to him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For 200 years we have been dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. We have accepted that as self-evident. And yet, almost 2,000 years ago, long before the days of our founding fathers, Jesus said something quite different. He began this parable, which I've just read to you, with an illustration which seemed obvious to him and obvious to all who heard him. And that which strikes us first about this parable is the assumption of Jesus that all men are created unequal. Now, there isn't very much argument, I think, that we vary in native ability. No two of us are born with the same native endowment. That should be apparent to everybody here. We are unequally talented people. Am I to believe for one single moment that Jenny Lynn, who sang so beautifully that the angels folded their wings, was equal in talent to Madame Schumann Hink, who, when she was asked how to sing, said, You just fill your lungs with air and let it slop over? Am I to believe that Michelangelo, whose paintings, frescoes on the ceiling of the Sistine Chapel still amaze us, was equally talented to a colorblind abstractionist whose drawing of a human being makes me ashamed that I am a man? Or am I to believe that Browning, whose poetry still enraptures the soul long after his death, was equal in talent to James Mill, the father of John Stuart Mill, who taught his son that prose is when all of the lines go on to the end except the last, and poetry is when some of the lines fall short of it. No, we are not equal in our talents or our abilities, and since that is true, the best thing for us to do at the outset of life is to discover what our limitations really are. I look out upon this congregation this morning, and I'm aware that though I do not know your native abilities, there are probably not very many five-talent men and women here. There are not many five-talented citizens in the whole world. They are very rare. Albert Schweitzer was perhaps one. He seems to have been equally talented in medicine and theology and philosophy and law. Abraham Lincoln, the statesman and former president, was probably one. John Chrysostom, the golden-tongued preacher of the second century, was probably another. But most of us, if not all of us here, are one-talent people, or two talents at the very most. We are the common people of the land, the average people of the soil, and our name is Legion. Abraham Lincoln used to say, God loves common people, that's why he made so many of them. And since that's true, we had better admit that we cannot do everything. I am an ordinary fellow. I am an individual with my own individuality, which means that there are some things I can do which many other people cannot do. And there are many things I cannot do which many other people can do. And this diversity of life is what makes life exciting. For if it were not for the diversity among us, life would be about as exciting as a picket fence. Clovis Capel was a great preacher from the South. He was a Methodist preacher. He has long since gone to be with the Lord. He had a beautiful sense of humor. He tells the story of being on a train one day where he saw a little boy who was an expert at drawing pictures. He was so enamored with the little boy that he immediately struck up a conversation, and very soon they had become fast friends. And the little boy asked Clovis Capel if he would draw him a picture. And Dr. Capel said, I asked the little boy what he wanted me to draw, and he said, draw me a mule. Now Clovis said, I should have been able to draw a mule, because I was born among mules, I was reared with mules, I plowed with mules, I preached to mules, and had a few mules on my official board. But when I drew what I thought was a mule and gave it to the little boy, he was so offended that he nearly cried. And then Clovis Capel said, I comforted myself with the thought that not all of us were meant to be artists. That's true, isn't it? But though we're not all equally talented, God hasn't left anybody in the world without some talent. He gives adversely, and he gives wisely, and he gives fairly. The parable says he gave to each man 5, 2, and 1 talent according to his ability. You do not put a nuclear warhead in a .22 rifle. You do not put a tiger's teeth in a canary or an elephant's heart into a mouse. You don't put a jet into a rowboat. And you don't put a 40-watt amplifier into a crystal radio, because these things could not contain that kind of power. They're not made for this. I've known some people who have a green thumb for gardening. And it amazes me, because all they do is drop the seed in the soil, and they produce a veritable Garden of Eden. And then others are like me, who work their fingers to the bone and produce nothing but a primeval forest of weeds. We're not all meant to be gardeners, but we all have a green thumb for doing something. If there's anything worse than overconfidence, which leads me to believe that I can do anything, it's underconfidence, which causes me to believe that I can't do anything at all. I do have some skill. I do have some ability. You do have some talent. And what we have to do is find it. And when we find it, then employ it for God and the world. I like the philosophy of Edward Everett Hale, who says, I am only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something, and I will not let what I cannot do interfere with what I can do. The heart of this parable, if I understand it correctly, is that ability determines responsibility. We are judged on the basis of what we were made by God to do. And God always smiles on those of us who do our best, whether we have 5 talents or 2 talents or 1 talent. Note that the 5-talent man traded with his talents and gained 5 more. That was a 100% profit on his investment. He was what we would call today a go-getter, a top man,
a fellow who was out for the boss's job. He was up for a promotion. And when he handed the 10 talents to his employer, the employer was so impressed that he said, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over 5 talents. Now I will make you ruler over many things." And he was advanced and given a promotion in the company. The 2-talented man was not as gifted as the 5-talented man, that's obvious, but he was just as faithful with what he had. And God doesn't expect 5 talents return on a 2-talent investment. If you have only 2 talents and you invest them and gain 2 talents more, then you have earned 100% on your investment, just like the man who gained 5 talents as a result of investing 5. And God never compares us to each other. He compares you and me to the best which is within us, and He knows what that is. "Well done," said the employer of the man with 2 talents. The same words that the employer of the man with 5 talents had said, and he was given the same commendation and given a like promotion. Now, while God is pleased with us and smiles with us if we do our best, God has no time for the slothful. He rejects the irresponsive. He rejected the 1-talent man, not because he just had 1 talent, but because he hid his money, he hid his talent, he buried it in the earth. Those of you who were here last Sunday when we discussed the parable of the treasure here in the field, remember that I pointed out then that it was customary in that day, when there were no banks and no federal savings and loans, to hide your money for safekeeping in the earth. That's what this man in the parable did. He was not a bad man. He was not even a wasteful man. He didn't waste the talent. He was just an indolent man. He had no imagination and he had no adventuresome spirit. He played it safe. He was cautious. He wouldn't take any risks. He was like the woman I read about who said that she always drove with the emergency brake on so that when there was an emergency, she would be prepared. Safety first was his motto, and that's a good motto if you're crossing a busy intersection or if you're loading your gun, but it's not a very good rule for living your life. Responsibility. Responsibility is a combination of 2 terms, response and ability. And it simply means the response which we make to the ability which we have. The greater the gift which God has given to you, the more accountable you are to God. And the 1-talent man apparently depreciated his 1 talent. I can imagine that he said under the cover of darkness in his own room where no one would hear him, "If I only had 5 talents, I could do something, or even if I had 2. But I only have 1 talent. What can you do with 1 talent? I'm told that the designers of airplanes years ago made a study of the bumblebee to see if they could improve their designs. And what they discovered was that the shape of the body of the bumblebee and the ponderous weight of the body, coupled with the short wing spread, made it impossible for a bumblebee to fly. But the bumblebee never says, if I had longer wings, if I didn't weigh so much, if I weren't so cumbersome, if I weren't shaped so grotesquely, then I could do something." The bumblebee apparently doesn't realize that there are those disadvantages, and so he makes a beeline to his work, and he accomplishes his task. Most of us here have more talent than we ever use. Theodore Parker was a gifted preacher. He died in 1860. One of his friends said to him just before his death, "Dr. Parker, you are a great saint of God. You are a servant of the Lord. You are as great as any martyr who has ever lived." And Theodore Parker said, "I don't know. I had great powers committed to me, and I have but half used them." That is true, I think, of all of us. And what we need to do is stop dreaming about what we would do if we had greater endowment, and begin to think about what we might accomplish in this world if we use the talent that God has given us. And so, in conclusion, let us remember that a talent grows or it dies as it's used. The 1-talent man didn't save his talent by burying it in the earth. There is no conservation in being hidden. Like everything else that's buried, if you bury your talents, they will rot and decay. You either use them or you lose them. Talents were never meant to be museum pieces. That's true whether you're playing golf or playing the piano or singing a solo. Or whether you're in school studying a foreign language. I recall when I was in college, I had to take Spanish. I didn't like it at all, but I had to do it. But when it was over, I was so pleased with myself because I'd gotten to the place where I could read it rather well, and I could even speak a little bit of it. But today, I can't speak any Spanish. I recognize very few Spanish words because I never used my talent. When it was over, and I hid my talent in the earth. Like the one talented man in the parable who argued that he had to take his master seriously because his master was a hard employer. That's the very thing he didn't do. He didn't take him seriously. His excuse was an excuse for his own indolence. And there's a French proverb that says, "He who excuses himself accuses himself." For in hiding his talent, he refused to serve. And when the master asked him where his investment was, where his return was, he handed him back not two talents, but one talent. And he said, "Here you have that which is thine." Do you think that God will ever tolerate it if we give him back only what he has given us? If we make no return on the investment? If we give him only a barren soul? No, I think God will say, "Take him away, bind him hand and foot, and cast him into outer darkness, and take his talent and give it to him who has five. For everyone that hath shall receive, and he that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away." That's a very strange saying. Maybe Aristotle can clarify it for us. He said, "He who hath this or that and makes no use of it may not improperly be said both to have it and not to have it." You get out of life exactly what you put into life. Your reward is in direct proportion to your investment. The man who had five talents and the man who had two talents, the Bible says they traded with their talents and they gained other talents. The time has come for us to stop expecting handouts at the world's back door and for us to begin to exercise our freedom to develop our talents and our abilities and multiply them even in the face of competition. Guru Lal was a famous Christian Indian mystic. One time a student asked him, "How can I receive much while spending much?" That's a question we all would like to have an answer to, isn't it? And Guru Lal said, after careful thought, "Buying and selling in the marketplace has no significance at all without a secret ingredient." "And what is the secret ingredient?" asked his student. And Guru Lal said, "The secret ingredient is your soul. For if you give much of your soul, you will receive much in return." Every man is on his own, you see. We have to make the decision as to what we're going to do, because the story tells us that God is like a man who takes a journey into a far country and leaves his household and his estate and his rolling fields and his world in the care of his stewards. And he says to us, "You are free now, free to use what I've given you, or free to hide your talent. You're free to be selfish or to be noble. You're free to save your life or to lose your life. But there's one thing sure you must not forget. I will not accept this talent as you received it." You can never, never stand still. You must be either up or you're down. You must be going forward or you're going backward. The one talent man could have developed his talents and his abilities to undreamed of potential if he'd only tried. Boswell once went to hear Wilberforce speak. What he saw was a little runt of a man, frail and sickly in body, but a little Englishman who would not let nothing stop him as he fought the slave traffic of England. And on his tomb in Westminster Abbey are the words, "The Attorney General of the Unprotected and Friendless." Boswell says at the end of that speech, "I saw what seemed to be a mere shrimp, but as I listened, He grew and grew until the shrimp became a whale. And so might it have been said of this man with one talent, if he'd used it. And so might it be said of you and of me, with our one talent, if we would use them, if we would respond to our ability. Let us pray. O Lord, we are so guilty of failing to use what you've given us. I may not be much, but I'm all I have, and what I am and what I have you have given me, and you expect me to use it. Lord, do not let us waste our time or our talents, our energies, our resources. But may we remember that everything you have given to us is a sacred stewardship, and that someday we have to answer for the way we've lived. In the name of Christ, amen.